Last week, we looked at Jesus' final encounter with several people before he's crucified. Well, last week, we saw his encounter with chief priests and the Jewish authorities. Obviously, they wanted to get rid of him because Jesus was a threat. And Pastor Carson showed us they wanted to get rid of Jesus not because Jesus pretended to be the Son of God, precisely because Jesus is the Son of God. And so he's a threat to what they want, their autonomy, their freedom, the temple worship, their work, their relationship, their lifestyle. And so that brings us to Friday early morning. It was also the day for the preparation of the Passover. In that early Friday morning, the Jewish leader handed Jesus over to the Roman governor, Pilate, because these Jewish leaders want Jesus to die on the cross. They want to humiliate this man and punish him who is from Galilee, but claimed to be the Son of God. Crucifixion is one of the most violent and cruel forms of capital punishment. The Roman used this cross for its deterrent value. And so when they use it with some skills. They want to make sure everybody knows it's a painful death. So whenever they crucify some people on the cross, they like to put that cross on highly visible places, like highways, hilltops, city gates, because this is a public political statement. The Romans want to say, we are the one in power, and the one on the cross is powerless. And so they reserve this type of crucifixion, this type of punishment for certain groups of people, including slaves who are powerless, including non-Roman citizens. But then, what are some of the crimes that justify dying on the cross? From the Roman perspective, there are a few crimes that would justify dying on the cross. First one is treason. Second is rebellion, or a crime against the Roman state. Common theme of these three crimes is that they are political in nature. They threaten the Roman rule. And so the Jewish leaders, they need to convince Pilate Jesus deserved to die on the cross, and they need to give the charge for him to die on the cross. And that's the exact question that Pilate asked them. Pilate came out to them and asked, what charges are you bringing against this man? Pilate is looking for a formal accusation to put Jesus on the cross. He probably expects a political charge that something that Jesus said or did threatens Roman's rule. But then the Jewish leaders say, if he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you. Are you able to find a charge from what they said? The Jewish leader, they did not specify the charges. Therefore, Pilate said, why don't you just do with him according to your own laws? But then the Jewish leader objected and say, we have no right to execute anyone. So this took place to fulfill what Jesus has said about the kind of death he was going to die. What we have found so far is the Jewish leader is saying something not true. They have already put Jesus' cross, the first cross-examination, and they are not able to find a charge against Jesus. By taking Jesus to Pilate, what they achieve is Jesus will die on the cross. And in fact, this actually fulfilled what Jesus said about his own death. Because there's three times in the Gospel of John, Jesus had already said, this is the kind of death that I will die. I will be die lifted up. The first time is his encounter with Nicodemus. He said, I will be lifted up, just like Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness. The second time Jesus said he will die being lifted up is in the public when he's talking to the Jews. He said that, I will be lifted up, and so that you will know I am he. And the last time is Jesus talking to his disciples, saying that, I will die, I will be lifted up from the earth, and will draw all people to myself. And the Gospel of John said, he said this because he knew the kind of death he was going to die. The Jewish leader, they didn't realize by rejecting Jesus and handing him over to Pilate, it actually led to the fulfillment of what Jesus said about his own way of dying. And so in that early morning, Friday morning, Pilate started his own questioning and investigation. he asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Because to put Jesus dying on the cross, Pilate needs to focus on the political nature of the crime. Is there anything that you do or said that will threaten Roman rule? But you see, Jesus did not answer that question. Instead, he asked Pilate. He challenged the source of truth. Where did you hear about it? Do you hear it? Is it your own idea? Or you hear other people talk about it? And Pilate replied, "Am I a Jew? Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus was handed over to Pilate by false accusation. Pilate doesn't care about what's going on with the Jewish people, but what he wants to know is whether this guy in front of him is dangerous enough to crucify him. But then Jesus had a different agenda. He wants to tell Pilate the truth. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." Pilate then said, "You are a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. Jesus first challenged Pilate's source of truth, and then he went on to challenge Pilate's idea of truth. The truth that Jesus is telling him is that I am a king of a kingdom not of this world. Jesus wanted to tell Pilate the truth about the kingdom of God. So what is truth? Pilate asked this question not because he wanted to know the truth, but because he does not care about the truth. He's not even following up on the truth that Jesus is telling him. At that point, Pilate failed to recognize truth is in front of him. What he's concerned about is the pressing problem in front of him. For Pilate, what's the most important thing for a Roman governor? Every year during the Jewish festival of Passover is a very tense and dangerous time. The Passover is a festival to commemorate what God done for his people. A long time ago, God liberated the Jews from Egypt. That's how this Passover festival came about. And every year during Passover, Jewish people, when they're celebrating it, they remember God once delivered us from Egypt. Will he deliver us this year from Romans? So during that week of Passover, the tension in Jerusalem is very high. And that's why the Roman governors will send people over there with a troop to make sure there's no uprisings in that Passover week. So what Pilate cares about is, I need to maintain peace. So that's all he cared about. So therefore, even though he did not find any basis to charge Jesus, he went along with the false accusation and he flogged Jesus. And then he took Jesus out to see the Jews again. And once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews, "Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know I find no basis for a charge against him." But then when he brought Jesus out, Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Here is the man. You said he's the king of the Jews. I've dressed him up as the king for you. With the crown, with the robe indicating purple is the color for royalty. This is a mockery to the Jewish leader. You said he's a king. I never saw a king that's so powerless. There's nothing he can do. He can't even save himself. How can he be the king of the Jews? And also, where on earth can you find a king that's rejected by his own people?" Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world. To Pilate, that's not truth. That's just empty words. A kingdom that's invisible as well as powerless. So Pilate thought, I can do whatever I want with this Jesus without any consequence. And as soon as the chief priest and the officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" Pilate said, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him. Then the Jewish leaders insisted, we have a law, and according to that law he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God. When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. But afraid is not enough. This emotion is not enough for Pilate to go to the bottom of the truth. He repeatedly stated that, I did not find any charges against Jesus, but at the same time, he didn't release him. He didn't set Jesus free. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. But then the Jewish leaders kept shouting, if you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. They are playing the political card. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. Here is your king, Pilate said to the Jews. That Friday, from early morning to noon, Pilate had a one-on-one audience with Jesus. And he is forever remembered. Pilate was remembered by this trial that has no truth, a trial that is filled with lies and falsehood. When he presented Jesus to the Jews shouted, take him away, crucify him. And Pilate asked, shall I crucify your king? We have no king but Caesar, the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified. Pilate thought he had power over Jesus' life. He even said, do you know I have the power to crucify you and to free you? But as you read what happened that morning, Pilate was not able to free Jesus. He knew he's an innocent man. He tried to free him, but he's not able to free him. That Friday morning, truth was ignored and trampled. The true King Jesus is dressed like a king, humiliated and crucified. The Jews, they chose Caesar over Jesus to be their king. Instead of recognizing the truth that Jesus represents, the Jewish leaders, they rejected the truth in favor of their own version of truth. Pilate also rejected the truth in favor of the pressing problem in front of him. He doesn't care about the truth. These two groups of people, they ignored and trampled the truth. And they ignored and trampled Jesus, Son of God, and the kingdom of God. So, what is truth? If you read this account, all you see is falsehood, false accusation, a false king, somebody who thought they have power, but they are not able to release an innocent man. But what is truth? Based on what Jesus said, we know something is true. Jesus said that he is king. And what he said about himself is true. Imagine, Jesus talked about he will die a certain death and he will die lifted up. How do you make sure you're being lifted up? Because to die by crucifixion, you have no control over it. You need to have the Jewish leader hand you over to Pilate. What if the Jewish leader decided to stone you to death? Then you cannot die lifted up. And so if the Jewish leader brings you to Pilate, what if Pilate find out, there's no charge against this man, he's innocent, I have to release him. Then he cannot die being lifted up. How can you die lifted up? You can only die that way and prophesy that way if you know about the future, if you know about the exact way you are going to die in the future. And then you can come back to the past and tell people, that's what will happen. I will die being lifted up. He is a king and he's able to tell how he's going to die because he knows the future. So one thing about the truth we know so far is Jesus knows what will happen in the future. He knows his own death and he also knows about his resurrection. Jesus said he came to testify to the truth about the kingdom of God. He said his kingdom is not of this world. And so when you look around, you don't see a passport called the Kingdom of God passport. When Pilate looked around, he's not able to see a powerful king in front of him. This innocent man was not even able to defend himself with a lawyer. He's not even able to get out from this unfair trial. But then, the Kingdom of God, God's sovereignty, is overwhelming everywhere. If you read the Bible, you realize God reigns and God has sovereignty since the beginning of time because He speaks us and He speaks the world into existence. And then we also know He has a plan, a redemptive plan, since Genesis 3:15. And His redemptive plan unfolds throughout the Bible until the Good Friday and God's resurrection and Jesus' resurrection. And we also know from the Bible that He said one day He will make all things new and Jesus will come back and reign as King. This is the truth that Jesus represents, and He's telling Pilate, but Pilate failed to go to the bottom of the truth. Pilate had the whole Friday morning to have this one-on-one audience with Jesus. He had all the privilege of that several hours to go to the bottom of the truth, to know about the Kingdom of God and ask Him, "You talked about you will be dying, lifted up. How do you know?" He had all these opportunities, but he missed these opportunities. He missed what God has offered through Jesus. Just like Pilate, we also missed a lot of opportunities. A lot of times we are presented with the truth from the Bible, but we let the opportunities slip away when we do not let the truth transform us. If we believe in God's truth, we will let His truth drive our direction, drive our goal, and drive our priorities. But you know, instead of letting Jesus to be the King and rule over our lives, we are the King of our lives. We construct our own truth, and we always missed what God has offered through Jesus. Whenever you think of sin, you probably felt like, "Oh, I didn't lie this week," or, I didn't do anything that's against the law." But today, I want to give you a chance to reflect on, have we sinned? I want to give you the chance to reflect whether you have constructed your own truths and let false beliefs direct your lives. So what I'm going to do is I will go through false lies containing false beliefs about sin, about life, about identity, and about money. I'll go through them one by one. Then I'll give you a few minutes of silence so you can reflect whether you have allowed any of these false beliefs to direct your life, whether you have let these beliefs direct your decisions, mold your priorities. As I go through these false lies, I invite you to take out your phone and take a picture of it so that you can refer back to them during the time of silence. So when you're ready, we'll go to the first set of false beliefs about sin. The false belief that we created sounds something like this: believing that gratifying sexual lust has no negative consequences. Believing that I can sin and suffer no negative consequences. Believing that I'm free to do whatever I want, regardless of others. Or believing that I have no sin. The second set of false beliefs is about life. Believe that I must gain the approval of certain people in order to be happy. Believing that I must live up to certain worldly standards in order to feel good about myself. Believing that I only need to hear God's word, but not to do God's word. Another set of false belief is about our identity. Believing that an attractive body, attractive personality, attractive image, or certain status, authority, and lifestyle will meet my needs for acceptance and significance. Or believing that I need more than Jesus to meet my needs of acceptance, security, and significance. the final sets of false belief is about money, believing that having an abundance of money and possessions will make me happy, believing that what I have is mine to use for my own pleasure, believing that I cannot afford to tithe. These four sets of false beliefs are not all the false beliefs out there, but these are some of the common false beliefs we use or we construct to direct our lives. Have you allowed any of these to, when you make decisions, have you let these false beliefs drive the way you make a decision or mold your priorities? I will now give you 3 minutes of silence so you can review your own life and search whether you have constructed any of these false beliefs, beliefs about sin, about life, about identity, and about money. This three minutes of silence will have no music. So for some of you, it may be really uncomfortable to just stay in the space of silence. You can ask God to help you sit in that discomfort and ask Him to reveal to you some of the false beliefs that you think is true and have run your life by it. At the end of the silence, I will invite you to stand up and join me in a prayer of confession. I'll now give you 3 minutes of silence reflection. Church, please stand and join together to confess our sins. we'll read this confessional prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, we confess that we have been deceived by the sinful world and corrupted culture. We thank you for your forgiveness, and we choose to believe your word and believe in Jesus, who is the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, hear this good news. If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. Please take a seat. God's forgiveness comes with a great price. A friend once asked me, if Jesus knew he will resurrect, what is the big deal to go through the cross? My immediate thought is, it's a great cost. It's very painful. If I told you I'm going to have a nail go through your wrist and pull it out, but I'll heal you after that, are you willing to let me do that? It's a huge sacrifice and great cost. But that forgiveness, the cost, is not paid by us. It's paid by an innocent man. Jesus carried our sin through the humiliation, through the suffering, and through the cross. Next Friday, we will have a special Good Friday service. That Friday service, Good Friday service, is to commemorate what Jesus did 2,000 years ago on that Friday morning. You heard part of that Friday morning story. You heard about the unfair trial. You heard about the flogging of Jesus, even though Pilate found he to be an innocent man. That's what we are commemorating next Friday, that Friday morning when Jesus went through the cross for us. And you may wonder, why do you call a Friday like that Good Friday? What is so good about it? It's just a day where truth was trampled and ignored, and injustice prevails. You can only find a Good Friday to be good if you know the truth, the real reason for the suffering and death of Jesus. Why did Jesus die? A question that Pilate asked the Jewish leader, why do you hand this man to me? What is his charge that deserve for him to die on the cross? They somehow made up a reason. Jesus have to die because he's a political threat. But is that the real reason? I try to read through the Gospel of John this afternoon. I try to find all the evidence that show Jesus is a threat to the Roman rule. I was expecting to find places where he say, come, children of God, your Messiah is here. We need to start a new life, a new kingdom of God right here. But that's not what Jesus said. He simply preached a very humble message that transformed people's lives. Why did Jesus die? Because we reject him to be the king of our life. We reject the truth. When we heard something in the Bible that we disagree, we interpret it in a way that the Bible will match my belief, my self-constructed truth, my false belief about sin, about life, about identity, about money. We stop calling sin as sin. We believe there's no negative consequences for sin, and we are free to do whatever we want. My body is mine, my time is mine, and my money is mine. Instead of setting aside money to tithe, well, I just spend my money on all the things I want and I need, and at the end of the month I find out, oh, I don't have money, I cannot afford to tithe. You see, we are in control. We reject Jesus to be the king, and we take Jesus' crown and put it on us and call ourselves, we are the king of our lives. Our false belief has a deadly consequence, but that consequence is dealt with by Jesus, not by us. We did not suffer the deadly consequences of our own problem, of our own false beliefs. And so Good Friday is only good when we realize the truth about our sin, and the cross is God's plan to save us from our sin, from our self-constructed truth and destructive false beliefs. Church, please join me in standing and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son to us. May we never forget what Christ did for us. We come to you in repentance, renouncing our false beliefs. Through the power of the cross, you have redeemed us. Lead us to lift up your name and surrender to Jesus as our true King. And help us to glorify you in the way we conduct our lives. Through Jesus Christ, your Son and our King, and in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Amen.